Welcome to another edition of the Cambridge Endurance Sports Podcast. Today's episode carries on nicely from the last episode with Mike Salt, as I'm talking to Pete Thompson, who's chairman of Cambridge and Coleridge Athletics Club, and he used to train with me and Mike back in the day under Barry Matthews, who's still his coach today. Pete's the ripe young age of 65 now, and he has loads to say about his running career and about being chairman of the great club that is Cambridge and Coleridge. So have a listen. If you like it, please subscribe, follow us on Spotify, rate us, give us some feedback, and enjoy this episode with Pete Thompson.
Okay, well, it's Tuesday morning. I'm here with Pete Thompson. It's now about 11:30. What have you been up to this morning, Pete?
I have been for a run.
Excellent.
Sort of Monday and Tuesday are quite easy days for me. So I just did about 35 minutes, fairly gentle pace. And tomorrow should be an intervals day.
Cool. And you live in Saffron Walden, don't you, in that area? And
Saffron Walden, yeah.
Yeah, so always a nice hilly run, is it, for you?
Yes, I mean, Saffron Walden's in Essex, which is generally considered Boom. Flat, but Saffron Walden is quite hilly. There's some good hills in Saffron Walden, yes.
Yeah, and do you think that helps? Or
yeah,
would you rather have to hanker after the Cambridge flats?
No, I think running up hills on a regular basis is good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And down them, of course. That's
yes.
even nicer.
Yeah.
Because you're tall, a bit like, we're probably similar build, maybe you're a fraction taller. And we can sometimes make ground going downhill, can't we, by striding out. Is that something you've found?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I sometimes struggle to keep up with people going up a hill, but I normally, take them back on the downhills,
Yeah. Have you found that over the years, that being sort of tall has been made things... Has that affected your choice of events? Is it not something you've really thought about? I mean, I've finished races and thought, I'm twice the size of him, so I should have won that, really, if it was weight graded.
Can't say it's something I've really given a lot of thought to.
I mean, you're slim, you're very slim. You told me that someone pointed out you're overweight, but you're definitely slim. I should say as well, I hope you don't mind me saying that you're 10 years older than me, so you've just hit the new age group of 65.
Correct, yes. Looking forward to it, yes.
So you'll be winning even more then. We'll go into Pete's illustrious career in a moment. But if you look out for him, you'll see him in the pictures that we'll put with this podcast. He's a tall chap and he's got a good stride on him. And were you tall as a kid?
Yes, I was always tall as a
always
kid,
tall.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up then?
I grew up in a town called Hornsey on the east coast of Yorkshire.
Ah, And
my dad was a farmer, and so we had lots of space to run around, and I think just running around as a child was a big benefit to me, really.
Yeah.
Built up a lot of energy right from the start.
Up in tough conditions, no doubt, wind and rain and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, the East Coast, it's not as you think of Yorkshire, it's very, very flat actually, but it was very cold.
Yeah.
That wind coming off the North Sea, we thought it was normal, but no, it was very cold out there.
Yeah, so Cambridge seems quite mild, does it?
Cambridge is very mild. Yeah, it's very mild.
And you went to school up there, did you? And is that when you got into running properly?
I went to the local school and I wasn't particularly talented at school, but sport is what I thrived in, and I was quite a good footballer.
Mm.
I was captain of the under 14 team, I remember, and
cool.
I was pretty fit. So on sports day, I'd entered the 1500 metres as a 13 year old and I came second. But the next year, there was a race that encompassed the rest of the schools. It was like 14, 15, 16, and some 17-year-olds possibly as well. And I noted that the winning time of that race was 5 minutes and 6 seconds. I can still remember.
Wow.
And I thought, right, I've got a year to train for that. If I can get my time down to something like that, I've got a chance of winning, even though I would have been the youngest in the race. So I set myself that target.
Really?
And nobody thought I would do it, but I did.
And was that completely on your own, or with your dad's help, or who?
No, that's a very, very good question, because this was my first example, really, of the benefit of coaching. And it was pure luck. A teacher joined the school. He was a young man called... I've forgotten it, but it'll come back to me. He was a keen runner himself. And very kindly, he took a group of us out to the park at lunchtimes, and we used to do hill reps.
Brilliant.
Yeah, twice a week. So we do this twice a week. And I could see my legs were getting stronger from these hill reps. And then he'd do these time trials on the track that we'd actually be competing on. And my time was getting close to 5:06. And I thought, I've got a chance here, I've got a chance. And Alf Reagan, that was his name. I would love to meet him if he ever listens to this. Because he was so lucky, because he was only there for about 2 years and I just needed him at that time and he helped me. And on the day, a chap went off who was much older than me and he was probably the school's top footballer, led for the first couple of laps. It was five laps because it was 300 meter track.
On grass, is this?
Yes, on grass. Yeah. And about halfway around, overtook him, and I won in 4:47.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad, is it?
And that was my introduction to running. And I've loved it ever since.
Did you then retain your title the next year?
I did. I won it 3 years on the trot. And what I forgot to mention was, and this is what first attracted me to wanting to do it, that was a big trophy for the winner.
Nice.
So I won that trophy 3 years running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good when you get a trophy that gets passed. Was that one that you had your name put on and then passed on? Yeah.
Yes.
That's a bit like the club, the current CNC Boxing Day 4 Mile, isn't it? That's got some good names on it, hasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so what happened after school?
So after school, football, I have to say, was my number one sport, and that's what I continued with. So running, I dipped into it every now and again, but I didn't do it seriously until I stopped playing football when I was 30.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 30.
So did you go to university?
No, I didn't,
Were you working up in that area still?
No, I moved down here when I was 20, thinking I'd probably only be down here about 5 years and then move back, and here I am 45 years later.
Yeah, so it wasn't Saffron Walden to start with, though, was it? Or was it?
Yes, it's always been around this area. I lived near Buntingford for a while and Stansted.
So you've been a bit of football, maybe doing the odd bit of running, and then what made you go back to proper running?
So after football, I thought, right, what am I going to do now? And I took up squash for a while. And again, I thought, well, I'm going to try and make myself as good as I can at this. And I ran to get fit for squash, because that's a big advantage to be fit if you're playing squash.
Yeah.
And I'd win some matches.
As well as
agility,
isn't it?
Sometimes I would just deliberately try and keep the rallies going just to tire the opponent. And even if I went two sets down, as long as it had been a long game, I felt I could. And often that happened. I came back to win 3-2. But I got a bit frustrated with squash because I got to a certain level and I couldn't seem to improve. And I'd entered a few running races by then because I thought I might as well take advantage of my running fitness.
Not a member of a club at this point?
No. I was doing okay. And then I joined the Saffron Striders. They were my local club. Yes.
So are we talking 80s now?
We're talking...
Late 80s?
We're talking about... Yeah, I would be about 31, so I think, 84-ish.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah. So the Saffron Striders are already going then.
Yeah.
And are you allowed to share this, what you were telling me before about the Saffron Striders, bringing things up to date? Or is that private news? So just that we're going to be very friendly as CNC people with Saffron Striders.
Absolutely.
Well, could be some news on that front.
They were a great club for me at that time. There were two other guys that were good runners, and we formed a good team, three or four of us, and we won quite a few. I think we won the team award at the Huntingdon Half Marathon back then.
Oh, I don't think I've done that one, yeah.
Oh, I think it's gone now.
Yeah.
And we also won a team award at the that 5 miler at Sawston.
Oh, yeah, the fun one. Or,
yeah, the fun runner.
Yeah, which is still
gets a lot of entries. But then the other two chaps left the club. One of them left the country to teach abroad, and the other one took up triathlon.
Mm.
So my running really plateaued. So I needed to look for another challenge.
But you were already looking, obviously, at the longer distances if you were doing half marathons and so on.
Definitely, yes, yes, yes.
Is that what you were keenest on, the road and longer road? Did you do a marathon at that point?
Yes, yes, I did my first marathon in 84, I think.
Mm.
London.
So it was one, because London started in about 80, didn't it?
So it's quite
one of the early ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I may be wrong, but I think so, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was hoping to do 3 hours, but I had a cold in the week before the race, and I did about 3 hours 36 or something, which is a decent first marathon.
Yeah, so one of the problems is that this is pre-internet, obviously.
Mm.
So a bit like me, some of our best times and races are not there, are they? Even on Power of 10, where you can. If you're desperate, you can try and get them to look back and claim a race or something. I've never done that. So people might look on Power of 10, see your name there, and see your PBs on there and think, yeah, they're okay. But they're not amazing. I bet your actual PBs are not on there, are they?
No.
Right, I can't. So as an addendum to what should be on Power of 10, tell us, let's run through some of your PBs. We'll talk about the track later because you're involved with it more now. Yeah. But on the road then, let's go from 5K upwards.
My 5K best time, I believe, is 15:30.
Brilliant.
10K...
You've missed that 5 mile.
Cause 5 mile, 25-something.
That's a good one. I'd rate that even higher than the 15:30, perhaps, yeah. Good.
10K...
I know you used to do, because I used to train with Pete, and I know he always used to do well at the Hatfield Broad Oak 10K, which was a fast course, with a downhill last bit, and I'm sure you did well under 33 there.
I think I did, but my best time, I think, was, I did get under 31 something, high 31s, I think.
And
I think that was in the British 10K Championships, and I was something like 56th in sub-32 minutes, which shows the standard of that race.
Pre-shoes, of course. This pre-shoes, is pre-carbon shoes, which we'll talk about in a bit. Brilliant. So we've got the 10K. What about to go to half marathon now?
Well, 10 miles.
10 miles, of course.
10 miles, 53:12.
That's a good time as well.
Yeah. And I did that age 42, actually. Most of my PBs were at around 30, age 38, with me starting running quite late. Most of them were 38, and then I did that one off at age 42.
Do you know where that was?
Yeah, it was at Nene Valley. Nene Valley 10.
That was a great race, just after Christmas, wasn't it? Before Christmas. December race, often cold, but a fast course, and had a very good field as well, usually.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that's gone, I think, from the calendar now.
It has, went on for years.
Mm.
Yeah, finally finished.
Mm. We'll talk about Nene Valley in a moment, because my next question is going to be about clubs. Mm. So now half marathon.
Half marathon, 1:10 something.
That's good.
I mean, it's nothing compared with the guys these days at the club, which is amazing.
Come on, that's the equivalent to a 1:05 with the shoes.
Probably is. You're right. Definitely. Yes, definitely.
Where was that one?
It was one of those Finland races. I think might have been the Ramsey half marathon.
Really? Maybe. Yeah, I think that was my first ever half marathon. Yeah.
It was a great race because it was one of those days where everything went well for me. It was the Cambridgeshire County Championships.
Yeah.
And there was two guys went storming off, and then there was a group of about 3 or 4 of us behind. And about maybe 10 miles, I kind of broke away from that group, so I was then lying third. But almost as soon as I'd broken away from that group, I saw one of the guys in front, and he was rapidly coming back to me. Mm. Even though the gap was massive. I thought, I can catch him. And at half marathon is 13.1 miles. Yeah. I passed him on 13 miles.
Good time to do it.
Yeah. So I came second overall, but the other guy wasn't from Cambridge, so I won the Cambridge Championship.
I asked this because we used to train together, like I said, including Mike Salt, who's on the previous episode, and he's got a fair collection of county championships. I think I might have two, a 10-mile one, and I'll maybe cross-country one, I'm not sure now. But anyway, how many have you got, do you know? Quite a lot?
I think on track, road, cross-country, I think I got about 15.
Wow.
I think, yeah.
That's a good go. All Cambridgeshire.
Yes, and
Essex is a hard one to win.
Yeah,
it's
well,
got Oxford, Colchester.
Put an end to it as well, because I don't think Essex are very good with giving age group awards, really.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking overall county championship.
Oh yeah. No, it was about 15, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. And then the marathon.
My best marathon, right? Well, my best time.
How many have you done?
I've done about 8.
Right.
And I didn't really feel that I justified myself completely over a marathon. I feel have been able to do about 2:30. And
that's what your other times would suggest.
Yeah, and I really blew that at London once. I don't want to talk about that. It was just one of those awful races that just went completely wrong. But I did do a 2:40. Dead.
Okay.
Out in the fens somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good race. Came second overall. Oh. And then, I think my best marathon, I consider it my best marathon, was a 2:51 at the age of 51, which won me the British Masters for my age group.
Lovely.
And that was quite a tough course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good going. So you can see from what Pete's saying here that he's been going a fair while. And he's spread his achievements out. So you've been pretty consistent. I mean, you've had maybe lulls and so on, but you've always come back strong and you're still doing that now.
Yeah.
You've been active, very active within CNC lately, and we'll come on to that. And you started with Saffron Striders. When did you first come to CNC? And just talk us through your club history before we go into the coaches and training, but just in terms of actual clubs.
So at that time when I was plateauing at the Saffron Striders, I thought, you know, I've got to do something here. So in those days, clubs and, well, everybody advertised in newspapers. And I'm sure I saw this thing about Cambridge and Coleridge, and I thought, oh, I'll give them a ring.
What, in the Cambridge Evening News or something?
It may have been, one of the local papers. And so I rang them, you know, I told them my situation, and they said, oh, you need to speak to, and they gave me Barry Matthews' number.
Really?
Yes, yes.
So if you listen to the previous episode, you'll hear a lot about Barry. He's my first running coach, and was he your first?
Yeah, he was my first.
Apart from the guy at school.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So we can definitely talk a bit about that.
So we'll come back to him in a minute.
My running, really.
So that made you join the club as well?
That made me join the club, yeah. So it was the competition, the new competition and the standards at CNC, plus my coaching with Barry, that really brought my running to the next level, really.
But you were headhunted at one point, weren't you?
Well, so I was with CNC for maybe 5 or 6 years, but when I hit 40, we were doing, you know, obviously the Icknield League, which included Nene Valley, and I got approached by Nene Valley, who did have a strong masters team. And it was very tempting, really, that, you know, I was ambitious to do well as a master, at vets in those days, of course. So I joined Nene Valley.
You're there for your only money.
No money involved.
What was the incentive then? Just to be running for a team that was going to win, or the fact to get kudos for it? What drew you to it? I mean,
I think it was one of those patches when CNC weren't anything like the level they are now or had been in the past. So I was just possibly just looking for a new challenge, and I definitely wanted to make the most of, you know, my new status of becoming a vet or masters at
Did you train
40.
With them or just race for them?
No, I didn't go up there to train. No, I literally just raced for them, really.
Mm.
Yeah. But they were a good bunch, and they were prepared to travel. That was a good thing. Yeah. You know, we'd go to other countries. You know,
yeah.
Well, I think we won Masters events in all the home nations.
Mm.
So it was, you know, it was a great experience, and I don't regret doing it. But I never liked their vest as much as I love the CNC vest.
Hopefully, there'll be a picture of Pete with the CNC vest going with this. You'll see it on our Facebook or Twitter or somewhere. Yeah, you're very proud of that vest, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you did Saffron Striders, Neen Valley and CNC, no others, yeah? Or have you dipped your toe in other clubs as well?
Well, I dipped my toe into the world of triathlon, duathlon and that kind of thing. So I joined the local triathlon club, which was Walden Tri.
Right.
And I was with them for a few years.
But you could be still CNC at the same time or not at that point?
No, I think I was just Walden Tri, right. And I actually think I had a short spell with the Striders, second claim.
Mm.
Yeah, in fact, I did because we were in the Kevin Henry League, and I ran for the Striders.
Is that when you? Because you told me you won the first ever Kevin Henry League, which is now called the
Arkwright League.
Right.
Yeah.
And we think that was probably late '90s.
Mid-90s, something like that. Yeah.
Yes. And you won it overall.
I was the first winner. I've won. There were only four races. I won three of them. I came third in the other one, so we went into the last race. Me and a chap called Rob Cole from Newmarket, and it was really whoever won was going to win the championship.
Yeah. These, for those who don't know, these were and still are 5K races, yeah. Aren't they? 5K races on road or multi-terrain, aren't they? Yeah. Did you ever finish high up in the Winter League, the Frostbite League? Did you ever do well in that one?
No, I never did really the Frostbite League. I think I've only ever run about two of those.
Oh, really? Yeah, because, of course, like Mike in our previous episode, you were a fan of the Itnield League, which was a big deal in those days, proper cross-country. And, you know, I was always happy to get in the top 30 or 40 there, I think, on the days when Matt Davies, who we've had on this podcast before, and a lot of the Neen Valley guys, and there were some Chelmsford and Colchester guys, I think there were some Essex guys coming into that as well.
Yeah.
There was a real good field there, yeah. Proper league, proper cross-country league that was. We'll come to like your favourite races now then. So over the years, what have been your favourite races, do you think, off on the road or on the country? Have you got a particular fond memory of a course that you loved and wish was still happening or anything like that?
There's a race now that I really love, which is the 30K off-road race down on the North Downs in Kent.
Oh.
I've only done it twice. It's the British Masters Trail Running Championships.
Oh.
And it's an amazing event. It's just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah,
all off-road, real test, you know. The t-shirt says brutal, awesome. And they describe it as being equivalent to a marathon. I don't think it's quite equivalent to a marathon, but it's hard. Tough. But I missed that this year. I had a knee injury. I was very disappointed.
And of course, you did the original Cambridge Half Marathon.
I did, yeah. Which, did that several times.
Finished in the early 90s and then obviously was resurrected in 2012. But you were showing me a letter that your son wrote for school saying that his dad had done this race. Yeah, in the picture, Pete has a good head of hair and quite a bit more poundage around his middle than he has now. Do you have fond memories of that one? Because that was a grant just back into two loops, wasn't it, from Parker's piece?
Yeah, I
managed to just get in on the last one of those, yeah. A guy called Steve Brace used to win it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but gosh, yeah, had a good field of runners there. Mm. Yeah. Often run on very hot days, middle of the summer, wasn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, I think I did a 1:17 there, but I hadn't met Barry by then.
Yeah. Shall we get on to Barry then?
Yeah,
let's get on to Barry. So you rang him up and he said, yeah, come along to the park in Histon, did he? Or where was your first training session with Barry? Do you remember
that? First of all, I remember having a very long initial conversation with him. He was, you know, telling me about, you know, what he did and all that kind of thing. And I was really thinking, am I going to be able to cope with the discipline of him telling me exactly what to do every day, sort of thing? Because I wasn't used to that. I did my own thing, really. And then I thought, well, why did I ring him? Why did I ring CNC? And it came down to, do I want to be a better runner? So I actually said that to him. I said, what this comes down to is, will you make me a better runner? And his answer to that was, I feel I can make anyone a better runner. And I thought, to be that positive, I thought, I've got to at least give this a go. And sure enough, yeah, he improved me. He improved me a lot quite quickly.
Yeah, and do you think that's down to both his program and his one-on-one face-to-face coaching, or combination of two?
I think it's a combination of two. Mm. Yeah, he quickly sorted me out a regime that suited me down to the ground, really. But yeah, I mean, when you went to his sessions, or if he was at races, it was a definite double incentive to do
well. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had him at a race.
Yeah.
Was he very active in the
Well,
sport?
You never knew where he was going to come up for a start.
Yeah, his bike that he'd pop up on sometimes.
Yeah, cross countries, for example.
Yeah, no, I've seen him at cross countries.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm talking about the Icknield League. That my first race in the Icknield League, I think I remember it was at Ipswich, and I came something like 23rd. Mm. And I progressed pretty rapidly through the season, and in the last race, I was lying about 8th, and I thought, this is great, I've improved from 23rd to 8th in one season. And there was a group just ahead of me, and then Barry turned up, and he screamed, "Get in amongst them!" And it was like a knee-jerk reaction. I just joined the group ahead of me, hit my head on a branch, but I overtook at least 3 of them in that group, and I think I ended up 5th overall in that last race, and across the line with a bleeding forehead. Because I was just comfortable sitting in there, and he just screamed at me, it wasn't good enough, get in there. Mm.
So were you doing the sort of thing that most of us were doing at that point, of the two quality sessions, maybe Tuesday and Thursday, the long run on the Sunday? Would you be doing hills on Saturday as well? Did you not do that?
And that was exactly what we did.
So it's quite a formula that he had for basically everybody, didn't he? But he tweaked it for you. I mean, I presume you probably had higher mileage than some of the guys who were focusing on the middle distance, like Mike maybe and Matt Davies and others. Sam Bowden, obviously, who I must get on here.
I was probably doing 60, 70 miles a week, and it was double training on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, you do like a 3-miler or something in the morning, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sort of 25 minutes, lunchtime or something, and then a session in the evening, same on Thursdays. Hill Fartlek on Saturdays, I used to love that session.
Yeah.
And then, long run Sunday, usually about an hour and 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. So do you want to name some of your favourite training partners or favourite moments from the Barry days? I remember you coming, you didn't used to come all the time because obviously you had a bit further to travel than the rest of us. But you were definitely there quite regularly at Histon sometimes.
Oh yeah, Histon, yeah. Yeah, and sometimes we trained in Parker's Peace, I remember.
Yes, about a 1200 lap, wasn't it, around there, I seem to remember,
And
on the track?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that first session going over there to his house. I was very nervous thinking, because even then I was older than most of the group.
Yeah.
And I thought I could get absolutely murdered here. But I kind of hung on, and it just hanging on to people makes such a difference to your running, doesn't it?
It's amazing. I mean, probably like you, we're not sprinters, are we?
No.
And yet, I remember going up to the track at St Ives and doing a session of 200s with, and probably running faster for each of my 15 or 20 reps of that than I could do for one now. just because you're in the group brings you on, doesn't it? And of course, that's something which CNC is showing in spades at the moment, isn't it? The power of the good group.
Yeah, absolutely.
So since joining Barry then, that was it was a rapid progression, was it?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I plateaued been around 55 minutes for 10 miles, and I just couldn't go any quicker. And within 3 months, I think, I ran a 10-miler in Bishop Stortford. They used to put on a very good 10-miler.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I ran 53.37, I think it was. And I think I came third. Yeah. And that was such a quality race. I never thought I would get in the top three at that race. So I was just over the moon.
Yeah, I might have probably been in that race with you. I did it several times, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. And so that was your sort of first experience of coaching and and CNC, and something that you've sort of got into yourself, isn't it? Because you've done some personal training and other types of coaching yourself. I did that.
Yeah.
Is that something you're still doing? Or?
Yes. When I was at Walden Tri, I became a qualified coach, triathlon coach. And then I took a course to become a personal trainer and qualified in 2013. Mm. And I gave up my proper job in 2015, I think. And since then, my wife and I have been personal trainers working from home.
Which is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And despite all that you've learned from these courses and your own coaching, you're still stuck with Barry?
I have, because I need his discipline, really. Yeah, I just can't seem to do it on my own. The temptation is to do too much, really. Yeah, I mean, I had a go at self-coaching and it was rubbish. And so I had a meeting with Barry and we sat down, we wrote down, this is what we're going to do, pattern for the week, and we just stuck to that. And touch wood, I rarely get injured. Mm. And I progress. Mm. I mean, last year I ran my fastest 10K for 11 years, which is with the new shoes, of course.
Yeah, so you tell me, which shoes do you wear then?
So I got a pair of Nike Zoom. This was quite early on, so they're probably not the best right now. Because I don't, you know, obviously they can last a long time, so I literally only use them for racing. So I got them just before COVID.
So what was your time there for that race that you were saying that you came back? Was it 51, did you say? Or
The
one you just said where you came back? And you...
Oh, so yeah, I did the Town and Gown 10K last October.
Oh, last October. Sorry.
And I did 37.45. Yeah, and it was the best time for
you. Do you know what age grading that gave you, roughly?
It was in the 90s, I think.
Wow, so you're in that elite group of the 90s. Yeah, it's hard to get there, isn't it? Mm. Were you ever touching the 90s when you were, like, under 50?
No, certainly in the last few years.
Yeah.
So I think it is the new shoes, but I think as well...
It's durability as well.
Yeah.
You know, to get to... you did start running late, but you've still been running 30-ish years now.
Yeah, over 30 years.
Yeah, and that's a long time to keep going. Yeah. And you still follow Barry's program to the letter,
Yeah.
You've got to believe in it and do it, haven't you? Yeah. And, so 37.45, age 64.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And you've done some fast 5Ks over 60 as well, haven't you?
The course at Storys Field is quite a fast course, although...
This is the park run.
Yes. And I've broken 18 minutes there two or three times in the last couple of years.
So they'd have got you 90s as well.
Yes. So I think for 6 months I was top of the WAVA League at that event. But Mary Twitchett, I think, overtook me. So I'm not sure where I'm lying now, third or fourth.
I think Nicola... McBride, we've also had on here, she must be higher.
I think she's one place behind me. fourth or fifth.
So have you enjoyed the sort of advent of park run? Has that been a motivator for you?
I think park runs are absolutely amazing. Because 5K is such a great training distance to run for you know, good standard athletes. You know, you can do that on a Saturday and still do your long run on a Sunday. But just to get people into running, it's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And it must have saved the National Health Service a fortune, I should think.
We were saying before we started recording that the level of participation in these things is very high now, and the number of runners is perhaps at an all-time high or close to it. But the standard isn't necessarily, is it? My opinion was that the very top is probably just as good, if not better, But there's the next rung down, maybe where we are, is yeah. not as heavily populated, is it?
No, no.
Strange, isn't it? Because you'd think it would feed through with all the park run that, you know, although, you know, you'd get all these people who are running 25, 30 minutes, you'd yeah. think they would want to get better and be moving up to the 20 to 25 and then 17 to 20 and 16, yeah. 17, you know, and then, yeah. yeah, it's obviously going to thin out, but yeah. it seems, you know, we were saying back in the day, in the early, when you did your first London, there were probably a lot of people running under 2:30, maybe even more than there are now, despite there being a much smaller field.
Mm. Yeah.
But that goes against what's been happening in the club at CNC, which of course is now at an all-time high, isn't it? And we'll come to that in a minute, but I just remembered you wanted to say something about your kit as well. So you told us about your shoes.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you with calf running with calf yeah. guards. Do you still do that?
I do occasionally. I don't all the time, but yeah, I usually go for 2XU or...
Yeah, 2xU or whatever it's called.
Yeah. And I quite like compression kit, really.
Yeah.
I like Under Armour.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's top quality kit, and it lasts
it's
a long
not that
time.
Dear either, yeah. is it?
No.
Yeah.
And for those longer runs, gels I think are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why I probably struggled in my initial marathons. Gels weren't a thing so much then.
No.
But yeah, I think they're great. Yeah, they keep you going, and I usually use SIS gels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have one before a 5K as well?
I would.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a park run, for example,
it just gives you a little boost, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't have breakfast before a park run, so I'm running. Most of my training actually is done, like Charlie said, fasted first thing in the morning. So for a park run, I just have a gel about an hour before.
An hour before. That's quite
well,
a while.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
Between half an hour and an hour.
Yeah.
When I remember, basically.
Yeah. And the CNC vest is the best, yeah?
CNC vest.
We're looking at it now as we speak. Yeah, so you're always running in that, aren't you? I think you're quite a brave runner. You're running a vest even in the winter, aren't you?
I'll
have a long sleeve top underneath.
I used to be known, as a guy who would run in a vest, whatever the conditions.
Yeah.
But that's changed in recent years. I overdress now. In fact, I wear my long running trousers right through winter. The only exception to that would be races. But every training run, I wear my long Ron Hills or whatever.
Yeah, yes, still Ron Hills, my God,
And I that goes quite a bit into spring, and even some of the summer we've had recently, I've had them on sometimes, just to protect the carbs.
Yeah, but then you take them off and you're a second or two quicker, aren't you?
Yes, exactly.
Great stuff. Right, so, as you will have probably heard in the introduction, Pete is now the chairman of Cambridge and Coleridge. So, do you want to talk about the route that you took to get to that elevated status, and what made you want to do it, and that side of things?
So, I've been back at CNC for 6 years or something like that, and I guess not working. Well, I did kind of work full time, but I can work other things around work, because a lot of my work's in the evening. So I thought I could at least do more. So 2 or 3 years ago, I volunteered and I became team manager of the Southern Athletics League men's team. So I did that.
For CNC?
For CNC, yeah. So I did that for a couple of years. And then...
So this is a track competition? This is just track?
Yes, through the summer, yeah.
Yeah, so what pulled you towards the track more?
I think that was just the job that was advertised.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought, I'd like to...
You were doing the odd track race, were you? Or...
Yeah, I dabble in track each season.
Usually 5Ks.
5Ks? Well, I have done some 1,500 metres.
Yeah,
because,
over 50, yeah.
You know, the Masters Leagues they're just evening events, so they've got to be done in like 3 hours or 4 hours.
Yeah.
So they don't generally put on anything over 3K anyway, and so I've done some 1,500 metres there.
Yeah.
I've even done an 800 metres.
Yeah. Steeplechase?
No.
Never done one?
No, I've never done a steeplechase. Yeah. I haven't done a hurdle since I left school. They scare me.
Yeah.
They look like high jumps.
Right, so you managed that team. What year was that then? How long are we going back for that?
So we're only going back a couple of years.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, that was good. I was working with Steve Green there. He got me into it, trained me up, got a lot of support from him. He was brilliant. And then Keith announced he was leaving as chairman. And it did occur to me to go for it. But I was holding back. I thought, it's a big job. I don't know. But I'd sent Keith an email just saying, I'm sorry to see you go. I think you did a great job and all that kind of thing. And he sent me on back because when they sent out the position for chairman, they said, if you'd like to apply or if you know anyone who you think would be good for it.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that my name had been mentioned as someone who could do it, which kind of boosted my confidence quite a lot. So he said, would you like a chat? Because, if it wasn't the chairman job, maybe I could do a bit more.
Yeah.
So we had a meeting. And it went really well. And the more he talked about the role, the more I became enthusiastic about it, although I was still daunted. And it got to the point where I thought, I'm going to be disappointed now if I don't get it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I had a meeting as well with Neil Costello, the president, former chairman. And he was, equally enthusiastic. And so I put my application in. And
Does it have to be voted on, presumably, to get you in?
Yeah. But
did you canvass at all, or did you just put this, write something to back up your application?
I had to write something, so I wrote this piece that I mentioned about quite a bit of the stuff we've discussed.
Right.
Going back to that school 1500 metres race that got me into athletics. And, that got posted, and on the night that the chairman was elected, I was unopposed. So he went through. So I became the chairman in October last year.
Wow, so you're relatively new to the job.
Yeah, about 9 months.
Yeah, so for those who don't, I'm interested as well in this, I don't really know. What does the job consist of, would you say?
So the two things I have to do is chair what is more or less a monthly meeting of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 10 or 12 of those a year. And write a monthly post for the newsletter.
Right.
Those are the two essentials.
Right.
Luckily for me, Keith and probably Neil before him, puts a tremendous team in place. Probably the members of CNC don't realise what a fantastic team they've got working for them. So
every sort of other job is delegated, is it? And do you coordinate it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that's probably my role, as coordinator. Mm. I feel like I'm working for them rather than they're working for me.
So they do the work and you take the credit?
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. Well, so we were talking about earlier, and obviously there are some mundane parts of the job, aren't there? But you said that the positives always far outweigh. So
yeah.
What would you say in these 9 months or however long it is that you've done the job that have been the highs? What have been the best moments in that job?
Yeah, I mean, the highs for me are just the success of the athletes, and it never seems long before we get another one, and it's amazing. The things that have happened.
Yeah, do you want to just tell us a few of the things? I don't expect you to know, and it's always difficult because you're going to miss people out, obviously, anything that sticks in your mind in recent months that you think the club's been... I mean, we had Mark Vial on a while ago, a couple of years ago now, probably, and he was telling us about, the great successes that guys he's brought through have had. And obviously, we've had Jonathan Escalante Phillips on telling us about, the relays and so on. Has that been the sort of thing that...
Well, that's it. Yeah, the relays, that was quite early on, so that, you know, that was amazing. And then this year, the National Cross Country Championships, Jack Gray coming second overall, and the team coming third, I think, the men's team, senior men's team. And then, and the under 17 ladies winning.
Wow.
Which was amazing. I think that's the first time CNC have won a national championships like that, national cross-country championships.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Do you ever get, do you have to do some media work to promote these glory days?
Now, I think this is actually one weakness for the club. We don't seem to get enough into the press.
Yeah.
And we've really got to work on that because, you know, we're operating at a really high standard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see Cambridge United Football Club, you know, they're careful now, I suppose. But, we're operating sometimes at a national standard, and we're not getting the press coverage that we probably should.
But, of course, press now means not just Athletics Weekly and the Cambridge Evening News. It means television, but it also probably more importantly now means social media, on the sort of running websites and podcasts, whatever.
Yeah, we did quite well there, I think. And certainly, we've had some good coverage in Athletics Weekly, for example. Across England Athletics.
So, as I say, I've spoken to a few of the men, sort of top men like Norman Shreve and Jeff and so on, and hoping to get one or two more in coming weeks. Do you think that the women's side, it's brilliant about the under 17s, do you think the women's side has grown in the same way, or what's your opinion there? I don't know so much about that.
The women's side is going well as well. We've got a lot of good lady marathon runners. We're going to have a good presence at the elite start next year's London Marathon. I'm hoping we're going to have quite a lot of ladies there.
Must get some of those on this podcast
as
well.
You must. And we've got some really high-ranking athletes. I think Callum Elson and Tom Keane are both in the top eight for the 1500 metres.
Brilliant, I've had Tom on here.
Yeah, and Norman Shreve, his marathon earlier this year, still ranks him second, 35, Masters 35.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah. And what do you think, as chairman, what do you think you can do now? What have you brought to it to help boost this, and do you think the curve is going to keep going up? I mean, is it something? Are you, for example, in a position where you can talk to coaches, bring more coaches in, or do you think the coaching we've got? We've got some fantastic coaches. And if you want, we've had Mark. I know there are others, maybe Sarah, Wyman, others. Yeah. You maybe want Rick. You want to mention? I don't know. How do you see this sort of culture, if you want to call it culture? I don't know if that's the right word, of success being made even better, if that's possible.
I mean, we do have some amazing coaches and they're so dedicated. You know, we're all unpaid volunteers, you know, we ought to mention that. And the dedication they show and the commitment they show is amazing. I'm just so in awe of them, really. Yeah, like Mark Vile and Rick, and Stuart Dunlop oversees the track and field coaches, and you know, he does an amazing job. And they're just so dedicated, to CNC athletes and the club's success. And as long as we can keep that spirit going, I think we'll continue to do well.
What is the situation with the club membership? Is it bigger than it's ever been? Is there a waiting? How does it work with the juniors as well? What's the situation then?
So we've got a good level of membership. We've got about 750 members overall, I think. We do have a waiting list for youngsters, and we need to try and get that down. We could always do with more coaches. And generally, we, you know, are quite successful with our recruitment. I mean, that was one of my big fears: would we be able to recruit new people? But when I send out messages saying, you know, we need such and such, we need such and such, I generally get a good response, which is very encouraging. One area where all clubs are struggling, not just us, is for officials. But again, we've had some success in recruitment there, and I think we are doing better than most clubs. But it is an area that athletics should be worried about, really, recruiting more officials.
Yeah, it's a bit of a thankless task, isn't it? It needs some sort of perk, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Know, whether that's payment or you know, some more, just more acknowledgement, I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to ask you a difficult question now, because CNC, unless things have changed in the last few days, it's quite an expensive club to join. Do you think the membership fee is right?
Yeah, well,
sorry to put you on the spot with that. I don't know who sets the membership fee. Is that a committee decision?
Yeah, it's a committee decision.
Yeah.
Well, we think of it as very good value for money.
Yeah.
Because once they've paid the membership fee, everything else is included.
Including the vest?
The vest isn't included.
So what is included then? Use of the track?
Use of the track and the coaching.
Yeah.
So...
But the coaches aren't paid?
The coaches aren't paid.
So we can't really call that as a reason for upping the entry fee, the joining fee.
Well, we pay for the track.
Yes,
we pay
that's
a lot,
that
we pay
definitely,
a lot for
yeah.
The use of the track. Yeah, so you could do two sessions, maybe three sessions a week down the track, and it's not costing you anything. Now you go to a sports centre, you're not going to... how much would that cost you to go for three swims a week?
Yeah.
Without the coaching. So if you look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what is the joining fee now for an adult? Is it
£75?
£75. Yeah. And then you buy your vest on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, just as I know they don't have the track, but they have other things. So, you know, I think a triathlon club's probably about half of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, do you pay for the sessions?
Some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably, so, probably only the swimming ones, though, I think.
I mean, I don't know what they do.
Yeah. I mean, how much is the membership for Walden? For the, sorry, not St Walden, Saffron Striders?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't know.
No, no. Yeah. I know it's not your decision, and it was hired before you became chairman as well, but it is something that other people have mentioned to me, and I know it has put some people off joining.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, having said that, obviously we're in an affluent area and a lot of people can afford it, but it just seems relative to certain others, it's on the high side to me. But,
A lot of people would disagree with you, I think.
I'd love to be proved wrong. I mean, show me some clubs that charge more.
Well, it depends. It really depends what you join the club for. And, how much use you make.
Exactly. That is exactly the point. Yeah. Because, I mean, what Charlie talked about to us, he doesn't really train with the club, but he still loves representing the club.
Yeah.
You know, whereas others will be there week after week, every track session, taking advantage of all the coaching, all the facilities, everything. And when you sort of look into maybe the field sports as well, you know, you've got equipment and all that coming into it as well. And there, for that, it almost seems, you know, more apt than for a road runner who's, you know, just turning up to race and not doing a lot else.
Yeah. But, you know, you get a lot more out of a club like CNC than just the facilities, the coaching, you know, friendship.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
You've mentioned with people like yourself and Mike Salt, you know, I would never have met you and Matthew.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like friends for life.
Yeah, yeah.
And what value can you place on that?
Yeah, exactly. Is there anyone we've missed out that you want to mention that you've run with, or any great rivals, any great friends, any people you want to thank, apart from Barry, for your running success?
Well, for a while, we mentioned Mike Salt, didn't we?
But
we had a great rivalry. He normally beat me. I think it might have beaten him occasionally, but... You know, he dragged me on quite a lot, and I remember one Eatmeal League cross country. We got the top two places. He was about 100 yards ahead of me. Couldn't catch him, but I remember when I was doing my hill fartleks on a Saturday, and I was going up a hill, and sometimes think, get up this hill, try and catch Mike Salt.
Yeah,
and I'd have him in my mind as my rival.
Brilliant.
And actually, we trained together about 5 years ago for an aquathlon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just a swim run.
Yeah.
It was national championships. And So we'd swim in the Lido at Jesus Green, and then we'd run around Jesus Green immediately after ripping our wetsuits.
I should have joined you there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Great sessions. And, yeah, I actually got a silver medal national championships aquathlon, the only one I've ever done.
The age group, nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. But let's look to the future then. I mean, you told me you just hit 65. You're at the top of the end of your age group, obviously. What are your aims now then? What's motivating you for your running now? Any big goals?
Well, I always go for British Masters races. They're the ones. And I've got two coming up, actually. And this is where I drive Barry Matthews mad, because one's they're both in September, and one's 1,500 metres on the track, and the other one's a half marathon.
Right.
So he's always saying, well, you know you won't do as well because I can't, you know.
Do both at the same time.
But he still lets me do them. And yeah, I like competing against.
Are you as competitive in the 1,500 as you are in the half marathon? In terms of the position that you realistically hope to get?
Well, I have won medals on the track.
I just always think of you as a distance runner.
I ran my first indoors race last March, I think. 1,500 metres, seven laps, isn't it? And I got a silver medal. Yeah, 5:15.
That's cool. Is it, because I think there's a huge body of road runners there who don't really consider the track as for competition. Mm. Is it something you'd encourage more to do? You don't have to be super speedy to do well in the older age groups. I mean, you are super speedy, but you know, when we see the kind of times that people can knock out on the track, it's quite daunting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just great meeting people of your own age and competing against them. Mm. You know, great camaraderie at these Masters events.
Mm.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, well, we're getting towards the end now, and I have to ask you, first of all, for your favourite pre-race meal or just food in general, and your favourite session.
So, my pre-race meal is just, it's probably not what nutritionists or scientists would advise, but it just seems to work for me, and it's a bowl of Rice Krispies with a banana,
okay,
and a mull of rice. So it's lots of
milk with the Rice Krispies, Rice Krispies, banana chopped into
And the mull of rice is separate.
You know, a lot of people have talked on here about the beauty of rice, because it doesn't bloat you and it's good carbs and all the rest of it. We'll go with that.
Yeah, it just seems to be fine on my stomach and give me enough energy.
A couple of hours before the race?
Normally about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'd have that gel, say about 30 to 60 minutes before the start of the race.
So in a half marathon, say, would you take another two or three gels maybe, or just another one?
I'd normally do a half marathon without food or water.
Okay.
Yeah. I would hope I could get through a half, unless it's hot, obviously, and then I would consider the conditions. But no, normally I do my half marathons with nothing. But beyond that, I'd be drinking, probably thinking of gels, Certainly for that 30K,
A
couple of, maybe three gels on that.
And your favourite training session then?
Well, definitely it used to be that Hill Fartlek session on a Saturday.
Did you used to do that with the group or on your own?
No, I used to do it on my own.
Yeah.
Generally. Loved it, but I don't
think an example, would that be like an hour run or a bit less?
Yeah, an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, okay. And just going over. I found this route in the village of Ashton. Off-road, and it's just continuous rolling hills, often quite muddy in winter. Great session.
Mm. And feels beneficial, you sort of feel the benefit of it.
Definitely.
Yeah, those difficult moments in the race, you can draw on that. Wonderful, right, well, you've got your notes there. Is there anything we've missed? We've got a minute left. What do you think is your greatest achievement? We talked about your PBs and so on. What are your titles? If you had to tell you know, your grandchild, one thing that your granddad was, what did he do? Or is it being the chairman of CNC?
It probably is being the chairman of CNC.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it's, that's nice. It's an amazing honour.
Yeah, and you're hoping to carry on for a while?
Well, I've got a three-year stint.
Three-year stint, OK.
Yes, I'm only less than a year into that. And then, they might kick me out then. Yeah. Or, maybe another 3 years, but I don't know. I see how my brain stays in gear.
Brilliant, yeah. And if people want to follow you on Strava, are you on social media?
I'm not on Strava. I don't share any of my...
No, it's all top secret. Yeah. Fair enough. Right. Well,
I'd just like to say, so appreciative of all the support at CNC, and I just can't, say how amazing all the coaches are and all that team of workers and helpers.
Thanks, Pete, and I'm sure they appreciate you just as much. It's been great chatting to you, and you've been very humble, but you're a top runner and a top chairman. Thanks, Pete. Well, I hope you enjoyed that chat with Pete Thompson, got something from it, either about running or about being a chairman or any kind of official in the running club. Maybe it will push you in that direction too. Tune in again soon. Lots of great episodes coming up, I'm hoping. So I'll see you very soon. And in the meantime, keep enduring. I'm asking for some rest.